Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. In-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit DXEngineering.com/HamNation. By ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation. And by Ting. Ting is the mobile phone service that helps you save money by offering a fair price for the services you use. Visit hamnation.ting.com to get $25 towards your first device or service and to find out how much you can save.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 222. We celebrate Veterans Day with amateur radio. Good evening, everybody. It's a very special day. It's Veterans Day. And we really want to say greetings to all of you that have served in the military. Thank you for being here, and we appreciate your service. And I think we have a really fun show tonight. K7NRA, those guys are with us. They're celebrating not only Veterans Day today, but it's the 144th birthday of the NRA, and they're going to be on after a while. We also have some slides from the guys that are doing a special event today, and I think they're going on a couple of days. So we'll be talking about that in the session that's all about the veterans and the NRA and things that help us protect ourselves and our lives and our country. George, I'm glad you're here. You're, I know that you're really busy these days, but you're here tonight to help us along a little bit, I do hope, from Mississippi. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, Bob. A bit stretched out, I tell you. We had some weather move through, and there's more coming tonight. I've had power failures, so I've had to go to transmitters in the middle of the swamp. A lot of different things like that going on. I've been working on a project, though, for Ham Nation. It's not quite ready yet, but we'll just briefly talk about it a little later in the show.
Okay. Well, I know it'll be good. So we're going to go down and spend some time with Gordo. He's got some things, and Gordo, you look great tonight. And thank you for your service, my friend. Have at it.
Well, thank you, Bob. All right, soldiers, on your feet, chat room. We want to know your name, rank, and branch of service. Well, it's been quite a day today, and congratulations to all of those that really helped make Veterans Day a huge success across the country. I mean, everybody had specials. We had more food than we could eat because of all the free offerings to those that served our country. And you know, you can still continue to serve our country through the military, auxiliary, radio system, Army MARS and Air Force MARS still going strong. I'm a member of Army MARS. Coast Guard Auxiliary, for which I also work with, is looking for hams. Civil Air Patrol, always looking for hams. So if you enjoy military protocol and enjoy learning all about message handling using digital modes, let me tell you, certainly the MARS and the Coast Guard Auxiliary, CAP, and other services really have plenty for you to do. And lots to do coming up this weekend, November 14th, the Congress Arizona Hark Fest taking place. And then a week later, our friends Gene and Marianne at KJI in New Jersey, November 2021 and 22. It is their Dealer Fest. I'm going to miss it this year, but we'll see you there next year. So, Gene, have a great time at KJI and hope you'll all join him a couple weeks away and Congress Arizona for Hark Fest this coming November 14th weekend. And then next week, Bob, we'll talk all about Pluto coming to Arizona, W7P, as well as Limark on the East Coast. Bob, back to you.
All right, Gordo. Well, we we look forward to that. And the thing out in New Jersey is always fun with KGII. They have a lot of fun. I've been there a couple times and wish I could get there more, but you know how it goes. Time is so important. So we'll have to arrange a time. Maybe we can do it again with both of us. That's fun. I'm here again in the Heil Sound Assembly Plant. Only today, I'm up in front in the reception area. And after a while, we'll do a little spin. There's some historic items here, and we'll run through some of those in a little bit. But I have a lot of requests from all of you. You wanted to see some of the plant, so I hope the last few weeks have been kind of fun for you to see where we build all this stuff. Of course, what you see when I'm down in the Ozarks is where I design it. But here, it's run by some great people. Sarah, of course, owns the company, and her and Stephen and Jerry and Donna and Chris, they just keep this place rocking and rolling. I have to get out of the way when I come up here because I'm in their way. But you know, it's kind of fun. We got some real cool things. I got one of the Vox amplifiers that came from the Rolling Stones, and we did some things back in the 70s with them. It's kind of fun, and some other things. We'll come back in a little bit about that. But first, Gordo, you mentioned a while ago something that really caught my ear last night, not just the content of what was going on with the with all of this stuff on the channel there with all the guys up there, you know, the guys running for president, the guys and girls running for president, if you know what I mean. But I tell you, as an audio engineer, it bugged the heck out of me because whoever set that up failed. And you're going to even talk about it. I was really surprised to hear you say that you caught that too. So why don't you launch into that and let's talk a little bit about pop filters and windscreens, Gordo.
Boy, you got that straight, Bob. Let me tell you, that Republican convention last night, when those folks were giving their little talks, every single one had a pop and a puff. And see, I can't do it on your great mics, but on the mics they were using, they were so sensitive that they were picking up every poof and pop there was. Now I can't find the cover for this mic, but that's okay. I've got a backup one. There we go. Put that on there. And there we go. That's what they should have used last night on the Republican convention to get rid of all those pops. Well, let's talk microphones. Now, Bob, you're the expert, so I'll lead them into it, and then I'll let you take over. But let's talk practical microphone use. So, Brian, go ahead and roll the short shots. Well, here's Ed Hammond. Now, you folks that have been a ham for many years remember Ed Hammond, Cushcraft days. He's on a, looks like a crystal microphone. And back then, you could get that far away from the microphone with great success. And Ed, by the way, is a great success. Now, here's Don with the Amateur Television Network. And he's got his microphone in hand. And he's explaining to the public that if you're going to work a mic, you got to do it right. And I know many of you here on the show know all about mics, but we need to do some real training for those new students that are brand new to ham radio and don't know what it's all about. Oh, I love that headset for single sideband with a radio that gives you acoustic so you can hear your own voice coming over. That's the Bob Super headset. And notice that we've got a cover over the microphone, so the wind noise out there at Quartzsite, Arizona, that's Dave, the organizer of Quartzfest this year, does not overpower his good-sounding voice. So the windscreen is quite important. Now, if for some reason you loan the windscreen to someone else, as the case of Matt here, improvise, but do something because in the wind, you become unintelligible if it blows across the face of the mic. And there we go. That's Heather. And Heather and her team, plus me, will be working with the school system in Quartzsite, Arizona. She's got the Heil headset, and she's ready to go. And here we are with a slightly modified headset because I, too, gave away my windscreen at Field Day last year to someone that really needed it. But, you know, almost anything will work. But Bob will tell us there's a very special kind of foam that works better. And when we're working the headphones and the microphone that comes with them, hold that microphone right up to your lips. That's what pilots do, and that's what you get good audio. There's Chip Margelli, and when we're down at the ocean, a lot of wind. But again, he's got a cover over the microphone. So always make sure that if you're in a windy environment, which sometimes we have at Quartz Fest the third week in January, we hope to see everybody there, especially URV or hams. Notice that we'll have our special event station. That's the big ICOM 9100 we'll be using again this year because it just worked so well. But tied into the Heil headset, the Pro set, it will work great. And again, keep that microphone right up to your lips. That way you'll be good. Aircraft pilots know that. In fact, Jeff here was able to get a modified Heil headset, worked on his Kenwood, and you couldn't even tell he was flying. He was so quiet. So some neat things with headsets. Now, some of the handheld radios, especially many coming in from China, have poor acoustics when the wind is blowing. Take a listen to this transmission and notice that it completely goes in the mud when the wind blows. Take a listen.
Battalion 7, your main objective or issue may be up in Portola. Your structures look good. I'm between your structures.
Not a clue what he was saying, and that's because the wind was simply whistling right over the microphone that's built into the handheld. So again, you want to make sure that if you've got one of the less expensive handhelds just with a built-in mic, you identify where you talk on the handheld, and that way try and minimize the wind noise. Now, this we had great success with at Quartz Fest, Bob. This was your Heil with the Bluetooth wireless adapter, and I was thinking we'd get like 20 or 30 feet. Holy smoly. When we started using this, that's Neil, W6FOG, a three-time Vietnam veteran, went over there three different times. He's talking all about drone helicopters, and that's Nisha, his parrot. And we got 100, 150 feet on the Bluetooth Heil headset. And there's Russ, and Russ is our music man. We have a hoot nanny, and that'll be on Thursday night of our January Quartz Fest. And notice he's got the wind cover. Now, Bob, you're without a wind cover, but, you know, I took my Goldline mic apart to wonder how it sounds so good without the pops, and I found out why. And you'll tell us in a few moments all the neat stuff you've stuffed in there. Looked like foam rubber, but didn't feel like foam rubber. So it must be something special inside. Oh, there's Randy, our main photographer, and he's, again, on the portable Heil headset using Bluetooth. Out there on the desert, amazing range, much further than we had anticipated. So everybody needs a windshield on their microphones, and that's going to lead to great audio. Now, on the simple hand mics that come with many of the HF radios, again, we encourage all of our students get used to close talking, because as soon as a student first gets on the air, the first thing they do is they sound like this, and you can't even hear what they're saying, but you tell them to get right on the mic. Oh, yeah, it makes quite a difference. So if you're working someone on a net and they sound like this, tell them, put your lips on the microphone. None of this 1 foot away, and you'll come through. That's Dick Bruno, and he's coming through loud and clear. Again, there we are out at Quartzsite, and there we're using the hand mic. Out on the water, I've got a hand mic, and that's tied into the Kenwood. And that's one of Bob's new hand mics. And let me tell you, that HM hand mic really works well, even if the wind is howling, and it plugs right in. Just be sure and order that and get the right cable for the rig you're going to use it for. Yes, inexpensive little headsets like this, if you close talk that microphone, you'll be okay, but you're going to find that on the real cheapo hand mics like this, the background noise is going to overwhelm, and you'd do better just to pick up the handheld and close talk it rather than use this one. This one was not bad, but the little headset was quite sensitive on the mic he's holding to his lips to the background noise of the parade he's trying to provide comms for. So close talk the microphone. You got new hams, show them. You can't talk this far away because no one's going to hear you. You got to get right on the microphone. It makes a big difference. And that's the way many of the Heil microphones are set. And on handhelds, it's a mystery as to where that microphone is. We had one person that just sounded so far away from the mic, and we discovered they were using it like a cell phone, talking into the battery at the bottom. Well, once you got them squared away and it got right on the mic, it really made a big difference. So if you've got new students, tell them close, talk the microphone. And there's our setup over in Hawaii. And KH6 Hotel Mike Echo's station in the background. And that's Fred. I believe that's Fred on the air. Again, close talking the mic. So don't be afraid of the mic. Close talk the mic. There we are. A salute to our veterans. There's a couple of oldies but goodies. And close talk the mic. It really makes a difference. So I want to salute all of you that are veterans and wish you a very happy Veterans Day. That's Ed, and he's going to wish you happy Veterans Day. So, Brian, if you'll come back to me, and then I'm going to turn it over to Bob. And again, everyone, happy Veterans Day, and thanks to the many, many companies that went overboard today to make our veterans feel welcome. And let's remember those veterans that are no longer here and salute those that are here for the great job they did for our country. Happy Veterans Day, everyone. Bob, back to you.
All right. Good going. Appreciate that tribute to our veterans. It's just something that some people forget, and we can't forget. I wish we had about 3 hours. We could get into one of my favorite subjects is how to use a microphone. There's so many, and you're right. What they want to do is they want to get away from it. Every time you double the distance, you lose 6 decibel. You know,
wow,
that's four times your power. That's amazing. And Gordo, you showed it well. When you get away from a microphone, you lose it. So then what they do is they say, well, that's no problem. I'll just turn up the gain. Well, when you do that, you pick up the whole room. And it's really sad. But Gordo, I got a few things. I went back in the into the production area, and I picked up, this is the actual screen on top of a PR, let's see, no, this is a PR-35. I'll show you one of our little secrets, and it's not a secret, it's just a piece of science. You'll notice that I changed microphones because I wanted to put it on a stand because I don't want to be 10 feet from it. But look what happens when we look inside here. When we get inside here, aha, that's one piece of foam. And
they needed that last night.
There's another piece of foam. That's right. And this foam is very special. It's acoustically transparent, meaning that we have foam that not only can you see through some of it, but it's really not something you can look through, but it does not injure the pathway. A lot of foam, if it's not acoustically transparent, it will block some of the top end. I get a kick when I hear guys once in a while, I'll put my windscreen on, and do I sound any better? You better not. If you sound different when you put your windsock on, you got a windsock that's not right. And that's why some of them cost $1.50 and some of them cost $20. Yeah, well, that's too much money. Well, okay. Lose the whole top end of your audio. But when we engineer these things, there's a lot more than just making it look good. Now, for the gold line, Gordo, you showed it well. The gold line has gold inside it, but there's special foam that we have made to do that. And in the case of some of our performance microphones, and you see Carrie Underwood or Charlie Daniels or Keith Urban or Jacob Dylan, about 200 of them right now, using their PR-35. We do that so they don't want one of these old ugly windsocks on their microphone. The artists don't like that. So we developed a way of doing it. We have two pieces. We have the very important one that dissects the audio as it comes through and takes it away from the element. That's what we're trying to do. And then the other one is the cover. So we have really two different routes for that audio to go. And this is another one. This is our drum microphone. Now, you know drums, really, a bass drum microphone especially, has tremendous pressure from air. There's that big element in there. But look at the foam that's in it. It's very thick. And then there's yet another one on top of that. So that's how we solve all of these pop-pops. And you're right, Gordo. I guess, Gordo, you and I are going to have to take a trip to the next wherever it's going to be and whoever it's going to be. Let's go out there and take our windscreens. What do you think, Gordo? That'd be a good idea?
You got it, Bob. I'm ready, and I've got your windscreen. A little bit more expensive, but much better than the others that will cut off the highs. Thanks, Bob. Yeah. That's great. Back to you.
Very, very true. We just introduced the Heritage this week. We brought it back. And, you know, there's a lot of these other companies make, and they look great, but they sound terrible. Well, this one goes in recording studios, and a lot of the big-time dudes that are doing recording and artists, they love the sound of our Vetro microphones, and they have very special foam in those, too. Well, there's a little bit of stuff about foam, but we're going to run down and see what's going on. A run over, I guess, from here and see what's happening in Talmadge, Oklahoma at DX Engineering. Don Wilbanks, what's going on?
Technology is getting smaller. Look at your cell phone. Look at computers. Science is cramming more and more into smaller and smaller packages like ICs. And for hams, that means modern handhelds have features that Marconi himself could never have even imagined. And DX Engineering has all the latest handhelds that give you incredible radio performance in the palm of your hand. And they all come with a battery pack and a charger so you can get on the air right away, like the Yaesu FT60R. It's a dual band, VHF, UHF. Also has emergency automatic ID function, automatically transmits your call sign and opens the mic in case you become disabled in the field. You get expanded receive range, including TV, commercial, aircraft. It's super compact, and it has a large screen with user-friendly menus, so it's easy to use. Check out ICOM's ICT70A HD dual-band FM handheld. It's passed stringent military environmental testing, extra-loud audio, hands-free Vox. It's perfect for outdoor use, and it gives you ICOM's legendary performance on both 2-meter and 70-centimeter bands. Menus are easy to navigate. You can start operating with minimal setup. It has over 300 alphanumeric memory channels, so you're never going to run out of space, automatic repeater functionality, weather alerts, and a lot more. Check out the Elinco DJ500T. It is another dual-band, 2-meter, 70-centimeter radio for field operation, 5 watts of power, 200 memory channels, a large dot matrix display, easy to read, even with just a quick glance. And also you get semi-duplex dual-band, VHF, VHF, and UHF, UHF. Wide and narrow FM transmit and receive will cut down on RFI in crowded RF environments, i.e. big ham fests like Dayton. You also get access to Elinco's free programming software. And if you like APRS, you're going to love the Kenwood THD-72A, another dual-bander, great for backpackers, campers, and bikers because it has the APRS. It can be set up to receive automatic position and weather information, and it's compatible with the ARRL Travel Plus software. 1,000 memory channels, 0.5 watt to 5 watts, and it comes with Kenwood's programming software. And, of course, DX Engineering has all of these, and they will ship them to you faster than anybody else in the industry. Get your ground shipping in by 10 o'clock tonight, and if it's in stock, it'll be on a truck headed your way tonight. Proven products, expert advice, DX Engineering helping you shrink the globe. Request your catalog or shop online 24/7, dxengineering.com/hamnation, dxengineering.com/hamnation. Thank you, DX Engineering. We appreciate you.
That is great stuff. And you know, those guys are just the best when it comes to ordering your stuff. I'm amazed how they do that. If you get your order in before 10 o'clock Eastern, I think they're Eastern. You get that in there at 10 o'clock and you're going to have it tomorrow. It's absolutely amazing. Really, really great stuff. And I forgot to mention when we were talking about windscreens, a lot of people can't say they can't find them, and that's really sad. Here, let me pick this one up. We have packaged them so you can get the real deal from us. And all of our dealers have these, DX Engineering. All of the dealers have the windscreens. We call it WSM, windscreen microphone. We also have them for the headsets and so on. But the windscreens are very important. I forgot to mention that. Don is out tonight. He's having a wonderful time with Dawn, his wife. They had some things to do, so he recorded some things, and we're going to switch over and see what's going on with Dawn and Newsline. So take her away, Brian. Roll that audio and video.
From Amateur Radio Newsline Report, number 1984, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, November 11th, 2015. The White House released a report on geomagnetic storms. It seems that hams aren't the only ones concerned with the damaging effects of coronal mass ejections.
Late last month, the Obama administration released contingency plans that define roles everyone would play, from the largest federal agency to the smallest local business, in the event a geomagnetic storm strikes with epic magnitude. Now, with so many nations electrified and connected by technology and various intricate power grids, the impact of a supersized CME could have even more impact, knocking out satellites, GPS measurements, and stranding civilizations in a world without an operating infrastructure. The most recent instance on a small scale occurred September 28th. An intense solar flare erupted over South America, with the resulting UV radiation creating a temporary blackout in low-frequency radio communications. Exactly 1 month later, on October 28th, the Obama administration released its completed plans, the National Space Weather Strategy and the National Space Weather Action Plan. And with that release came the announcement of a global strategy for agencies, nonprofits, and individuals everywhere to cooperate and communicate. The release of the plans comes a week or so before the military auxiliary radio systems simulated blackout exercise with the Amateur Radio Emergency Service and Amateur Radio Civil Emergency Service between Saturday, November 7th and Tuesday, November 10th. Timing, it seems, is everything. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Bobby Best, WX4ALA in Jasper, Alabama.
Thanks, Bobby. In Arizona, they're talking earthquakes. Hamex kicked off November 4th. Newsline's Stephen Kinford, N8WB, picks up the story.
The first ever drill was designed to help amateurs understand their communication roles when disaster strikes their various communities. But the forces of nature may have conspired to drive that point home with an even stronger hand. After a series of minor earthquakes rumbled through the region just north of Phoenix, Arizona on Sunday, November 1st, a few days before Hamex was scheduled. The trio of quakes was considered rare, but radio amateurs were taking no chances. Morgan Hoagland, WW7B, communications manager with the Arizona Department of Emergency and Military Affairs and the Division of Emergency Management, said that three real earthquakes, however small, were certainly a surprise considering the Hamex mock disaster being staged was also centered around an earthquake. He told Amateur Radio Newsline, quote, "This exercise caused us to make ready many, many amateur radio modes such as HF, VHF, UHF, Winlink, FLMSG, FNARS, and VHF packet. We plan to make sure we keep all of the flexibility we display here for the future," end quote. 65 hams in Arizona and another 10 working HF outside of state were involved in the exercise, and the diversity of modes, both voice and data, proved to be the greatest strength of the exercise. More such drills are planned for the year ahead.
When a few dozen hams in South Africa were cut off from civilization late last month, they had a few things going for them. They had their radios, they had their antennas, propagation was terrific, and, after all, it was just an exercise to prepare for the real thing.
The Hamnet Summer Communications Exercise, held in late October in South Africa, was such a total disaster, just as everyone had hoped, that it proved to be a total success. Disaster was the whole idea, in fact, since the 60 or so participating hams working in teams had committed to operating their field stations in remote locations while living off the grid, as if some cataclysm had struck. All activities, including cooking, lighting, and of course radio communications, were done under simulated emergency conditions. But the 16 stations across South Africa and in Namibia benefited from fortunate propagation conditions, and the experiment went forward on the 24th and 25th of October as planned. To communicate, stations contacted one another via random two-word messages transmitted over channels instead of specified frequencies, comparing the results later. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, in Nottingham, in the UK.
And finally this week, a new video is out about the ARRL School Roundup and a very special school club.
Since late October, students in the Ham Radio Club at Bloomington High School South in Bloomington, Indiana, have been able to do a bit of DXing a little differently. The youngsters and their club have been starring in a 7-minute video about their Ham Radio Club K9SOU. The video is a segment of a program produced each week by the school's mass media class. In the video, the teens, including club president Ryan Cutchell, KD9DAB, talk about their involvement in the hobby. And the video shows the young hams working October's ARRL school club roundup. The club sponsor, Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, told Amateur Radio Newsline the kids fundraised a two-element step IR antenna a couple of years ago, and our contesting efforts really blossomed.
2013 Young Ham of the Year, Padraig Lissandru, KC9UUS, is a former member, and his younger sister, Maria, KD9VUS, has been Bloomington South Club Vice President. You'll find more on the story and a link to the entire video in this week's Amateur Radio Newsline report. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for over 37 years and counting at www.arnewsline.org. With Bobby Best, WX4ALA, Stephen Kenford, N8WB, Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, and Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW. 73. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. And now here's the solar update with Dr. Tamitha Scove.
We have a huge dark hole on the sun. We have one, maybe two solar storms that are coming, and a marathon of aurora. Those stories and more in the news this week. The sun has been a buzz of activity this week. Not only do we have this huge coronal hole that's been sending us fast wind and keeping us pretty close to storm levels for a little while, but we also had a big M-class flare from region 2449 that sent us a partially Earth-directed solar storm, which is going to hit us on the 12th. And now we even have a solar storm that looks like it's going to be launched right now. On top of that, we have yet another region here that's got this very strange circular filament that just looks like it's very unstable, and it's going to be entering the Earth strike zone here in a few days. So we might even get yet another storm that's going to be launched earthward. Switching to our M-flare threat meter, you can see things have been a little bit busy when it comes to M-class flares. We didn't have a whole bunch of that until about the 4th. Then region 2443 popped off a few M-class flares concurrent with a solar storm, so that really kind of messed up the ham radio bands for a while. Then things calmed back down a little bit, but then on the 9th, we had that big M3.9 flare that was eruptive that launched this solar storm that's earthward directed, and I'll talk about that in a minute. Switching to our solar storm conditions, you can see we've been incredibly busy. Since about the 3rd, we had a solar storm that hit us then. Things stayed busy until about the 5th, where things calmed down for about a day. Picked up again on the 7th, continued through the 9th, where you got just a tiny respite, and then picked up again. And between the solar storms being thrown at us from the sun and the fast solar wind, we have absolutely been slammed these past 2 weeks, which is great for aurora, but you have amateur radio operators are probably frustrated to no end. And I hate to tell you this, this little bit of quiet that we've got right now isn't going to last, because we're going to get hit with a solar storm here in the next day. So what else does the sun have in store for us this week? Well, this is our prediction model, ENLIL. This is NOAA's version of the model. The top panel's density, the bottom panel's velocity. And you can see that solar storm coming out, and it looks like it's going to go to the east of us. But the western edge does look like it's going to graze Earth sometime around the early parts of the 12th. So when that comes out, because it's moving so fast, it's kind of embedded in this high-speed stream, it really is not going to take very much. Even though it's a glancing blow, it's not going to take much to rattle the Earth's shield. Plus the fact that the Earth shield is already so rattled anyway because of the last 2 weeks of craziness. So we do think that this is going to give us a decent amount of storming. So the amateur radio bands starting around the 12th are probably going to start degrading over the next 24 hours. Switching to your solar storm conditions and aurora possibilities over the coming week, we are anticipating the blow from that solar storm that's going to be arriving on the 12th. NOAA is expecting about a 60% chance of a major storm at high latitudes starting around the 12th and moving on for the next day or so. At mid-latitudes, NOAA's only expecting us to have about active conditions with about a 25% chance of a storm at mid-latitudes. And then that should calm down a little bit. But remember, we are also in the process of seeing another solar storm launch. And if that happens, then things will not calm down after this storm. We actually will get more activity that will continue to degrade the ham bands probably through the end of the week. Switching to your solar flare and particle radiation storm outlook over the coming week, since that big M-class flare that Region 2449 had a few days ago, it has since kind of calmed down. So NOAA's only giving us about a 20% chance of an M-class flare over the next few days, with only about a 5% chance of a proton radiation storm. Now, we did just kind of calm down from a minor proton radiation storm. We never reached the NOAA S1 level, but things have since then calmed back down to normal conditions, and we really aren't expecting too much for the rest of the week. So this week looks to be extremely exciting. We not only have fast wind from that huge coronal hole on the sun, but we also have one, maybe two solar storms that are coming at us. And because of this fast wind, it's not going to take much from these solar storms to pump us up to solar storm level. So even that grazing blow that we're expecting on the 12th could be pretty significant. So unfortunately, you amateur radio operators and GPS UAV pilots, you guys are going to see some degradation probably in through the weekend. But if you happen to be an aurora photographer, this has been a marathon of aurora over the past couple weeks, and it looks like it's just going to continue. So enjoy. I'm Tamitha Scove. Thank you for watching.
Thanks, Dr. T. Great to have the report from you there. Yeah, it looks like we have been having quite a bit of solar activity there. I can say the last couple of nights on 2 meters, we had some band openings around here, around the south. It's been pretty good. I heard stations from several hundred miles away, so that's always a good thing. Of course, different frequencies are going to get affected different ways. Well, you know, it's about time for the holidays to be coming in here, and it's time that every good little ham needs to be thinking about what he wants Santa Claus to bring him for Christmas this year. And here's some gift ideas from ICOM. Over the hills and through the woods to grandmother's house we go. For those long holiday trips, let your ICOM radio help you enjoy your travels. Take ICOM's IC7100 D-Star radio with you this season. This radio offers an angled control head and touchscreen for easy mobile operation, a large internal speaker for clear digital audio, and it's perfect for multiband and all-mode communications. Interested in easy hands-free operation while you hit the road? ICOM's analog IC2730A mobile and the digital ID5100A both feature optional Bluetooth capability, a large backlit screen for high contrast viewing, and 50 watts output power on both VHF and UHF. For entry-level D-Star operation, check out the ID880H. Features include VHF-UHF dual-band functionality, one band at a time, good menu structure and easy programming, and fast multiple scanning for maximum reception. Looking for a compact, rugged, and user-friendly radio on 2 meters? The IC2300H has a large, bright alphanumeric display with 3 backlight options, oversized tuning dial for easy operation while on road, and 65 watts of stable output power. Visit icomamerica.com/amateur for more information on ICOM's mobile radio selection. And you can tune in and enter to win after each episode of Ham Nation. Go to icomamerica.com/hamnation and register for some great swag prizes like T-shirts and hats. And you can also learn how you could win the monthly grand prize drawing. For November, it's going to be the ICOM ID5100A innovative 2-meter 70-centimeter transceiver with touchscreen, internal GPS, D-Star, dual band, dual watch, analog and DV automatic repeater lists up, optional Bluetooth unit for wireless headsets and Android applications, and a lot more. So go to icomamerica.com after this and each episode of Ham Nation and register to win. Sign up, good luck, and don't forget to follow ICOM America Inc. on Facebook and Twitter. You know, last week I asked a question, what is the impedance of RG6 coax? And we were talking about RG6 coax because I had had a problem with some. And, well, we won't go into all that again this week. But anyway, my internet's back and it's working good. And I said, if you can tell me the impedance, somebody's going to win this Heil Sound hat and Heil Sound T-shirt. And we had a lucky winner there, and that's Jim Armstrong, KW6JIM. Congratulations, Jim. You're our winner for this week. And for next week, I've got another question here that comes from the Amateur Radio Technician class pool. What class of electronic components is capable of using a voltage or current signal to control current flow? And your choices are A, capacitors, B, inductors, C, resistors, or D, transistors. And if you think you know the answer to that, well, send your answer to me at hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and our model here will show you what prize is going to be for next week. Bob, what have you got there?
Our model. Yes, we have a pair of Converse tennis shoes, George. However, they're pretty special.
Yeah.
Look at that. Yes, and there's a pair of them, so don't get all shook up, chat room. There's two of them.
You get both. A left and a right or two lefts?
A left and a right, and they're about 10 and a half, I think, complete with shoelaces. And so there you go. Send George your answer. There you go, George. I'm not Vanna White by any stretch of the imagination, but there you go.
Well, thanks, Bob. I know somebody's really going to be proud to get those. So send your answer to hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and we'll have a drawing from those who get the answer right there. And I think it's a you should know the answer to that one. Well, I just got through editing and releasing Amateur Logic Episode 84 just before showtime tonight. Speaking of 2 meters, there goes repeater ID and over here. And the thing I covered in this episode is Windows 10 on the Raspberry Pi. We talked about that a little bit here last week. Well, I got some footage together, and I'll show you just a little bit about it. And go check it out at amateurlogic.tv. But I'm working on a project here for Ham Nation using Windows 10 on the Raspberry Pi. You can see I've got it booted up here behind me. And hopefully I'll have that ready, and we'll take a look at that next week and see if we can actually do something useful with it. So, Bob, with that, I'm going to turn it back to you because I know you've got something else special here.
Well, we do. We were planning for something very special, but the weather is not they're not helping us any at all. We're having competition with the old weather gods down in your part of the country, and we can't bring up one of the guests. We'll try to get him on next week. Here's the deal. Don Rand, K-A-5-D-O-N, they've got a wonderful club down in Libertyville somewhere in there, I think. The deal with these guys is they're doing a Veterans Day special today. They've been on the air all day, and I think they're going to be on for a couple of days yet. So somewhere around 14270, 14290 up in there, you want to look for K5TAL. That's the call sign of the club, K5TAL. And that's the American Legion down in that part of the country. So you guys want to You want to take part in that special event. Look for those guys, K5TAL. We were hoping to get them on. We'll try to do it next week. They got a really neat thing. They have one of the hydraulic poles that came from a truck one of the TV stations gave them. And, boy, they've done a lot of work.
Actually,
and
Bob,
we want to show it to you. So
it looks like we've got them on. So do you want me to bring them up? Yeah.
Oh, cool. Absolutely. Sorry. There they are.
I need to bring down that lower third, but
all right, cool.
We got you. So little bright because the communication trailer we're in doesn't have indoor lights or anything yet. We've just got a little desk lamp and a flashlight right now. We started operations this morning at about 9 o'clock and just turned the radios off before the show here. We've had about 150 contacts. The communication trailer originally came from Ingalls Shipyard, and they donated it to the Jackson County Amateur Radio Association. They donated two of them, and since we're all members of that also, after we got one of the trailers up and operational, we kind of talked them into giving the American Legion Ham Club. There's a picture of the trailer. It's got the weather cover on the mast right there, but we've been working on it, getting it set up. now that the Veterans Day event is over, we're going to get more dedicated to building up the inside. So it's kind of like the sister trailer that Jackson County Amateur Radio Association has. That mast goes up about 60 foot, and it was used for large communication systems, antennas. We probably won't be putting that big of an antenna up, but if we want, we could. And that's what's important. That's a picture of the sister, and that's about 35 foot up. That's the back of the EOC. And that was for the Katrina event. That's the working station from the Katrina event that Senator Roger Wicker and his wife came down. That's a picture of Roger Wicker. That's me standing with my back to the camera. And he got on the air and operated for a couple calls, and so did his wife. They absolutely loved it. They got to see the trailers, and they were very, very impressed. And so that's Miss Gail Wicker and Senator's wife. But we had a great time. And we have a similar setup here. We don't have the desk opera. Right now we're just operating on a little desk. Same radio and everything, but this next to me is Nick Connor, K5BQJ. He's been here all day, and that was his property that we had the trailers at that we have been working on. And get back to work now, getting the inside of this fixed up. We still got some work. I'm learning more about pneumatic masks than I ever wanted to, getting water out of places where we're not supposed to. But
that looks great, Don, and I applaud you guys, and I know it's a lot of fun, but it's a ton of work. And Nick and Don, I really appreciate you hanging in there with us tonight. We've had a little bit of weather trying to get old Skype lined up, but you got a nice signal into here. And have you had a real successful day on the air, Don?
We have. We've worked every place. We had four different radio stations operating most of the day. Every place from eastern Ukraine, we still call it eastern Ukraine. Some people over there call it Russia. But eastern Ukraine, a lot of the East Coast stations, Arizona, not so much the Northwest. But later this evening, New York was coming in on 40 meter. I did three contacts there. And overall, we've had a little over 150. I haven't counted them all up, but for the day's activities, and most of it was just on buddy poles, three buddy poles that we had set up for the 20 meter, the 15 and 10 meter, and then we had the mast with a 40 meter wire on it that did a real good job. I'm real pleased with the activities. The mayor came by and saw the operation, and that's what this is all about. You know, the American Legion is a service organization, and we're here to service the community for any communication needs that they may have coming up. And that's what we're working to get the trailer going for.
Well, that's really, really important. And I applaud you for getting the senator in there. Now, A lot of clubs and people do these special events, but if you don't get the media coverage, you miss a huge opportunity, especially to get one of the senators on the air to let them see and hear what amateur radio can do. So you and Nick have done a nice job. Nick, what's Nick's call? I missed his call.
K5BQJ.
It's K5BQJ. It's on his hat.
Okay, there it is. All right. Well, you guys have done a marvelous job, and I appreciate you being with us tonight. We're going to check back with you and see how progress is on the trailer when you get her finished. So drop me a line, let me know what's going on, and we'll have you back again, Don. So get back on the air. We'll try to look for you and have fun. That's the main thing. But we know that it's for a very, very purpose, a well-known purpose, in that it's Veterans Day. So thank you so much for doing that and sharing some time with us tonight, Don and Nick.
You bet. And thank you for the opportunity. The way we got the senator on is I sent him an email. If you don't ask, they can't say no. So that's my way of looking at it. So I sent an email, and he took the opportunity, since he's the major sponsor of the Antenna Parity Act, he took the ball and ran with it, and we had a great time with him and his wife. So thank you, Bob, for putting us on.
That's great. Okay. Well, very good, Don and Nick. Thanks for being here. And hello to all the club members there. And we'll be looking forward to seeing you guys all again at K5TAL. We have another interesting thing that we want to really tell you about that's very vital of time, and that happens to be this weekend coming up is the 144th birthday of the NRA, the National Rifle Association. And there's a group, and we tried to get some things worked out to have them on the show with it. We got a few slides, though. We'll run these slides real quick. These guys have done a great job of putting things together, and we want to share it with you. This is Dave, W7BJ. He's got a second phone station outside of their normal barn area where they are. And that's K7GST Buzz. That's Mike. I just had to look at me. That's Buzz in the background. Mike is K7NRA, and they're actually on the air this weekend. You'll be able to look for them. They're doing a lot of special event things around this 144th birthday for the NRA. And it was in the magazine this month. So that's where I learned about this. And so we're very pleased to have them show up and with the slides to let us see what's going on at this weekend. So they're going to be on and having fun all weekend. Now, what you see there, hold that up for a minute, Brian. That happens to be a very well-known guy across the country, that Matt Canovi. He's been all over doing things for the CIA and teaching these guys how to use weapons. He's on the air in Springfield, Missouri for 3 hours every Saturday morning. But he is at his range. He's got a 40-acre range. That happens to be Sarah Heil, the owner of Heil Sound. Somebody in the chat room asked me a while ago, yes, she does own Heil Sound. She does have a carry permit. She does know how to shoot everything, including an AK-47. I thought you guys and gals would like to see that. And she has to travel through some pretty crazy places going from St. Louis to here. And so she's well protected. She doesn't carry the AK-47. That's only out on the range, so don't get all shook up. But it's kind of fun to have her. She goes out and shoots on the range and enjoys all of that. And, you know, I have my hobby of amateur radio, and that's one of her hobbies, and she enjoys it thoroughly. So we don't want to mess with her, that's for sure. So that's kind of fun. But seriously, it's the NRA's 144th anniversary. And, of course, today being Veterans Day, there's a lot of veterans that know what to do with a gun. And she is one of them. Well, we want to go talk to Don again because he's got some words about how to save some money and get some decent telephone on your cell phone.
You know, we live in a mobile world. Everybody has a cell phone. And because everybody has a cell phone, everybody needs Ting. What is Ting? Well, Ting is a U.S. mobile phone service with a difference. They're on two nationwide networks, T-Mobile and Sprint. And also, something different about Ting, there are no contracts, there are no overage fees, and there are no unlimited plans. Now, what's the deal with the two nationwide networks? Well, Ting is the first mobile service provider to allow you to have devices on different networks under the same easy-to-manage account. That's very cool. And with an average monthly bill of only $23 per device, Ting will help you save a lot of money on your monthly cell phone bill. Those things get expensive. And with Ting, how you use your phone determines what you pay. If you use less, of course, you pay less. And there are no overage charges or penalties because Ting has no contracts and you only pay for what you use each month. And if you're stuck in a contract, Ting will give you credit if you're paying an early termination fee to come to Ting. You'll get 25% credit of your ETF up to $75 per device just for switching to Ting. Everything you need to know is at ting.com/ETF. And 80% of mobile phones and devices can come to Ting. All you got to do is do the device checker at ting.com/BYOD. Get it? Bring your own device. Ting.com/BYOD to see if you can make the move to Ting. Take total control of your account. See your usage and your bills in the powerful online control panel. Now, what if you go to that BYOD thing and you find out that, well, my device isn't going to make it? Well, no problem. Upgrade. Because Ting has plenty of options for you in the online shop. Once you have the device you want to use with Ting, whether you buy it from them or you bring it yourself, they'll walk you through getting started, including, like we said, bringing over your existing number or even getting a new one. Ting wants you to save money, and Ting wants you to better manage your cell usage, and they will help you do that. And because you're a viewer of Ham Nation, you save $25 off select devices or mobile phone service just for getting started. HamNation.Ting.com has everything you need to know. Check it out, HamNation.Ting.com. Start saving money. Ting, thank you so much for your support of Ham Nation.
All right, Don, thank you. I hope you and Don had fun tonight, and we missed you, but we'll see you next week. Before we go find out what's going on in the chat room, as I told you earlier, there's a bunch of historic things in this room. We'll kind of go through a few of them. There's a very special amplifier. There's two amplifiers there. Quite a story about that phase linear. You notice it's purple. Yes, it's purple. That was the start of phase linear. They wanted to get in the business, but we bought 50 amplifiers, and Bob Carver said, if you buy these 50 amplifiers, we'll build them for you. It's a 700-watt solid state. And there it is with the HIAL logo. They built it for one of our tour systems. We bought 50 of them. And that kind of started the whole thing with Carver and phase linear. Underneath it is our Omega 200. It was the first modular power amp. That's a very special amplifier. If you blow a side on it, when you bought it, you got a little suitcase that had a spare module, a screwdriver, and in about 5 minutes, you could change out the module and send it back to us. We didn't have a lot of problems, but I wanted to make sure they did. So those are some very historic things. The speaker underneath it is one of the troughs. We built several thousand. That happens to be serial number 1,000, and they built it reversed with white and with the white outside and the black inside. That's black fiberglass. We were one of the first companies to build horns out of fiberglass, but that one was black. And coming over here is kind of fun. This is an amplifier from the wonderful Rolling Stones. Let me get some light on it for you. It would have been 1972 when we were over in England. We were there for a number of years. We did some dates with them. And a lot of times they would just get finished with their stuff and give it away to us. So there you go. I've kept it all these years. This was a very interesting console. There are two of them here. The first one was historic in the fact that in 1974, we brought onto the market the first modular mixer. And if you had a problem or whatever, you could, first of all, you could buy 3 channels, 5 channels, 12 channel, whatever, put a blank in it. And then as you increased your revenue, you could add another module. It is a quad console, 1, 2, 3, 4 out. You could assign it to 1, 2, 3, 4. Had a stereo three-way electronic crossover for the mains. It was one of the first to have monitors. It had switchable mids on the EQ and the mid. Had some very special things. Outboard power supply. You could get it with sliders, or if you didn't have the money for the expensive, and you could even get Penny and Giles sliders in it, or you could just get rotaries. The other console was built about 75. We built a number of these. This mixer holds its own today. It's really super. We should probably still be building it, but it's great. I take it out myself on jobs when I do some little things around. But those are just some of the things I thought you'd like to see here in the front of the building. It's our reception area, and there's an awful lot of historic things in this room that aren't in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's a cool little picture over here I'll try to let you see. Yep, that's me. And Miss Dolly Parton, 1968. And that was Ed Drone, who really kind of helped me start the whole thing of Heil Sound. He passed on a number of years ago. But that's what's going on here at 5800 North Illinois in the good old Fairview Heights. And I understand that we have somebody from up north. Valerie, how you doing, kiddo? How the weather up there?
Oh, it's pretty bad. 60-mile-an-hour winds going on right now. So hopefully I stay live here. Hey, that Vox looks familiar. I surprised my husband for his birthday with the Vox AC30. I hid it in the trunk of his car, so when he went to the studio to go record the next day, there it was. He was pretty surprised, but it's a good-sounding amp. Well, I'm going to tell you about some DX we've got coming up since I'm on this week. I might as well put some plugs in. Willis Island, they're going to be on this weekend through the 23rd, so look for VK9W. That's a rare one. Also, Ghana just came on the air, and they're going to be there until the 21st. And that's 9 Golf 5 Golf Hotel and 9 Golf 5 X-Ray Alpha. There might be some other call signs in there, but it should start with a 9 Golf. Contests, Worked All Europe Ritty is this weekend. Also, we have the Japan International DX contest going on this weekend. And the Kentucky CUSO party is going on. And then here's a smaller, lesser-known contest, but I'm going to put a plug in for it. It's the Western Electric Contest this weekend. And that was one of my first jobs. They hired college students for the summer, and I was actually an installer for Western Electric, had my little tool belt, and climbed up in the rafters, sewing cable up in the rafters. That was pretty fun. I was the only girl in the whole place. As far as questions, we really don't have questions from the chat room, but I got a bunch of stuff here. KK4 Echo Whiskey Tango, he is a VE, and over the weekend they had 7 testers come in and out walked 5 techs and 2 generals, so way to go. And another gentleman in the chat room, he doesn't have his call sign yet, but he did take Gordo's class and he just passed his tech. So hats off to all you VEs and you teachers out there keeping this hobby going. Last but not least, happy Veterans Day. And there's a lot of vets in the chat room, so I'm going to kind of try and read them off real quick here. KC5CW, Curtis Hayes, was in the U.S. Air Force. Also, Kent K4 Tango Echo Whiskey. He was an 82nd Airborne. Lee Adler, KK4 Sierra X-Ray. He was an Army captain. Eric was in the U.S. Navy. That's November 2, Kilo Oscar Juliet. Tom was in the U.S. Navy, Whiskey 3 Echo X-Ray. Kilo Charlie 7, Fox Papa Fox. Kevin was in the U.S. Air Force. Steve was a sergeant in the U.S. Air Force. His call, Kilo Echo 0 Alpha Romeo Bravo, along with Kilo Delta 9 Echo Oscar Romeo. Gerald, he was he was in Vietnam. He was in the Army. He was a captain in the infantry. Kurt, Whiskey Alpha 2, Juliet Sierra Golf. Glenn, he was regular Army, U.S. Navy. Glenn, Kilo Mike 4, Golf, Whiskey Golf. Whiskey Bravo 3, Hotel Bravo X-Ray, was a second lieutenant. Rich, Whiskey 9, Tango, Italy Tango, was in the U.S. Army. Along with Jim Lesko, didn't have a call sign for him. And Jim, Whiskey Alpha 9, Mike Echo Delta, was U.S. Navy, along with Darwin, Kilo Fox 7, Tango Oscar Victor, was in the Army. And last but not least, we have Captain Bob Lucas, Whiskey 4, Whiskey Bravo Golf. So happy Veterans Day to all of you vets in the chat room and all of you vets listening or watching at home. And I also want to say happy Veterans Day to 2 very special people in my life. My dad, he passed away 3 years ago. That's my stepfather, Robert Stentrum. He was in the U.S. Navy. And the next one is my dad, who passed away on Veterans Day. And he was a U.S. Marine. So happy Veterans Day, everybody. That's all I've got for you guys. I'm going to pass it over to you, Bob. Tie the ribbons.
Well, that's really sweet. I love seeing the pictures. That was terrific. I appreciate you being with us. And to all in the chat room, we appreciate you being there tonight. I hope that all of you understand what this day means, and the whole week you want to be thinking about our veterans that keep this country safe. That's very important. And a lot of them are hams, and they're on the air, and there are some nets also, so you might look around for them. It's fun to check in a lot of these nets where you find these guys, and so many of them have left us, and so we want to pay tribute while they're here, and hope that all of you have enjoyed some of the things that we went through tonight here on this show. So Valerie, thank you for being there, and I guess you'll be with us next week and get us clued into what's going on, won't you?
Yeah, well, you're going to get sick of me. This is my fourth week in a row. Next week will be five in a row.
No.
Valerie,
let me tell you, we never get sick of you. No. And we thank Jerry for for letting us borrow you. And I think Amanda's going to be back next week. George, you got some things next week that's going to happen. Got your soldering iron a little hot this week, right?
Yeah, well, actually, I got the tires muddy on my four-wheel drive. I spent a lot of time headed to transmitter sites. But, yeah, I've got a project back here we're going to look at next week. It's taken a little longer than I was anticipating, but I know it's going to work now. So we'll be shooting some video this week and have it here next week and actually do something useful with Windows 10 on the Raspberry Pi.
Okay, that'll be good. We'll get back to some things that can make the old solder flow. Well, thanks, everybody, for being here. We really appreciate your participation, and we hope that hope you had a good time tonight. We'll see you on the air. George, you got any words on the nets? I think 20 meters is pretty dead. The weather here is so bad, so it's kind of noisy here, but what's happening? Can you put a light on that?
I have not seen the frequencies or anything in the chat room. It probably slid past me if it was, because I was trying to watch some of the great content on the show tonight, and I didn't pay as close attention to the chat room as I would have liked. But typically, you can get the 40-meter net somewhere around 72, 78, plus or minus 10. If 20 meters is on, it's going to be somewhere around 14.268. Of course, Echolink is star, do drop in star, or node number 355-800, as always. Same with D-Star, reflector 14, module C. And if you don't have a D-Star radio and you want to listen to it and see what it's about, you can listen at hamnationdstar.net. Oh, and let's remember our buddy Dan in 9LVS, who does the Ham Nation Wiki for us every week. We really appreciate that. You can find your show notes there, and just go back and search. When somebody asked me, hey, when did you guys talk about this particular topic? That's where I go look.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I just see Steve in the chat room, 7UDI, that does the 20 meter. He said it's dead. And somebody else said 72, 78, but the band is dead. So look around a little bit, though. Sometimes it might not be dead all the time, so you got to move around. And we'll make it happen. There, Jerry just said that Steve is on 7278, so it's open for some people. Well, listen, thanks very much. We'll be back in Springfield next week, and I'm glad you put up with all my bad pictures here this week. But I hope you've enjoyed seeing some of the inside of Sarah Heil's Heil Sound, and where I get to design and have a lot of fun once in a while. They let me have a month here. I couldn't believe it. Brian, thank you very much for working tonight. George, thank you. Val, and of course, Gordon, you're just always right there. And Don's not here, but he knows we all care for Don. We love him. He's a great guy. So long, everybody. We'll see you on the air. Appreciate you being here. Pass the word. Ham Nation is a great place to spend some time. Just put Ham Nation into Google and you'll find us. And a thanks, special thanks to Leo Laporte for giving amateur radio this time and bandwidth. So long, everybody. Bye-bye for now. This is K9EID.